Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we thank you for taking time out to join us for this hour. Of course, you know, we are back with our regular scheduled speaker, Pastor Dawn Mixon, who always has a powerful word, amen. For those of you who are tuning in by internet, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Call in and you can be a part of this Blog Talk Radio. Amen. And it's good to see all the numbers here and praying that everyone is safe and the family is safe and following the protocol and making sure that you're safe as well as protecting the safety of your loved ones. Amen. 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 This is the first day we've had our inauguration, and so we're looking for a change. Amen. Amen. God is in control. As we move forward, we're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, with Pastor Dawn Mixon. And I need to tell you that not only does she preach, she is a praying pastor. Amen. Amen. I've joined her a couple of nights, and she was just, oh, my goodness, you know, she's just, you know, just brought heaven down. Amen. So if you ever get a chance, you need to join them with doing their prayer service. Amen. We're going to move on over to Long Island, New York. And the next voice you hear will be Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long Island, New York, my hometown. Amen. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Amen. Yes, I can
hear
you.
Hello? All right.
Yes, can you? I just wanted to let you know I've enjoyed the prayer services that you and your church has had, and amen. I mean, I've had a Holy Ghost good time. Amen. I know that the Spirit is there, and we do want to thank you for you being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Not only for preaching, but as well as, you know, calling heaven down to earth.
Amen. Bless you. We're so grateful that you were able to join our line. We will be going back on at 8:15 tonight. And we're going to, for those that want to be a part of that, and you would like to come on our Zoom, we will give that number to you before we get off the air. Amen.
Amen.
So, but we want to go to the word of the Lord on tonight. So grateful tonight to be on again with our third Wednesdays. Look forward to being on it. I believe that God always is so kind to us to share something that is relevant for this now. So we're going to the word of the Lord. We're going to Psalm 51, and we're going to be reading 10 through 19. But we want to have a word of prayer with you on tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this opportunity to glean through your word. We thank you most high, God, because you have blessed us in so many ways that we can't even thank you enough. Even when we're going through our hard trials and tribulations, the wonderful thing that we know is that, God, you are with us and that we are not going through this by ourselves. Even those who are in the hospital and their family cannot see them, we know, God, that they are not dealing with this by themselves. And so, God, we pray on today that the blessings of the Lord will overshadow those who are in need of you right away, and they need immediate attention. We pray, oh God, that you will touch them, their very lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. So we're going to a familiar passage of Scripture to most that are in the body of Christ. But we want to deal with this particular subject because I want the Lord laid it on my heart concerning this particular subject. So the Bible says in Psalm 51, starting at verse 10, it reads, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltlessness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem, then shalt thou be pleased with sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. I want to share with you for a subject tonight. I just want to simply deal with the subject, Lord, create. Lord, create.
Amen.
When we are looking at what God has done in our lives and in our minds, our hearts, and our spirits, it's something about when God does things. Here we find David in a situation because of his immoral background of what he had done to his neighbor Uriah and his wife. Forget, it's not just Uriah who had been mishandled, but it was also his wife Bathsheba. Somebody said, well, she had opportunity to do what she wanted. Not in those days, the customs were different. And a king. He wasn't just any man. He was a king. And so we've got to understand there were some faults that David had, even though David was considered to be a man after God's own heart. And so when we look at that, we have to understand that when God, what David was asking God to do was, he starts by saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. Okay, let's look at the word create. The word create means to bring something into existence. Mm-hmm. To bring something into existence. And what he was asking God to was to create, bring into existence my heart that will please you, that will honor you. Because the heart that I have does not please you or honor you. So what you've got to understand, when the Bible uses the word heart, primarily it is referred to the ruling center of the whole person that springs of all desires. The heart is seen as the seat of the will, intellect, and feelings. I'm going to say that again. The heart is seen as the seat. In other words, it's where the place where your will rests, your intellect rests, and your feelings rest.
Mm-hmm.
It also brings about your character, personality, and mind. So when we're talking about the heart, a lot of times it is attached to not only your intellect, your will, your soul, and your will, your intellect, and your feelings. It also can be used as an attachment to your soul. Well, let's see. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord," watch this, "thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." All right, we can go somewhere else. Let's go to Matthew 22. Deuteronomy 26 and 16. Let's go to the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 16th verse. And the word of the Lord reads there. It says, "This is the day thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul." And so here we see a lot of references. Even if you go to Matthew 22 and 37, it almost repeats the same thing that Deuteronomy 6 says, and Mark 12, 30 and 33. This is not always the case where it refers to soul and heart together, but when we start talking about the seat of your will, your intellect, and your feelings, most people act out on their intellect, their will, and their feelings. So when David says to God, create in me a clean heart, oh God. What he was saying to God was, God, give me your will, your intellect, and your feeling, and connect it with my soul so that my soul will show forth the intellect of God, the feelings of God, but watch this, most of all, the will of God. Okay? So when we have understanding that the will of God is important, this is when we know that we have gotten to a place where there is God has brought into existence himself within us. I'm going to say that again. We know when God has brought his existence of himself within us. Why? Because it's no longer our intellect, it's no longer our feelings, and it's no longer our will. How do I know this? Mm-hmm. When Jesus came, he knew his assignment. He knew what his assignment was to do. His assignment was to come to the earth to redeem man back to God. That was his assignment. Let me explain something to you, because a lot of times we think, oh, Jesus, him being the Son of God, he's God wrapped in flesh. Can I tell you, there was some time that we got to understand that Christ had his own will. He had his own will. Why do you say that? Because when it was time for him to go to the cross and he went to pray, the prayer was, let this cup pass from me. Watch this. Not my will, but your will be done. Because he already knew the existence or the created heart of God for him was to do God's will. And he had to do it out of the intellect and not his own feelings. Let me explain something to all of those who are out there listening today. Can I tell you what messes us up? What messes people up in general is the heart. And some of y'all are going to understand what I mean when I say this. Your heart has caused you to get into a lot of things that you did not really need to get into. It caused you to get into a relationship that you really didn't need to get into. Why do I say that? Because we entered relationships, whether they were love relationships, whether they were friend relationships, whether they were a business relationship. We did a lot of these things because our will and our intellect and our feelings were seated in our heart, and we had the wrong intellect, feelings, and our will. That's why it's very important that if you're going to do anything as a child of God, the first person that you need to ask, God, is this the right way path for me? Is this the right individual for me? Is this the right thing that I need to do? Is this the right business partner for me? Why do I say that? Because if we're acting out on our own intellect, feelings, and will, we're going to always make the wrong choices. That's why it's very important. Somebody said, well, you know, Master, I just felt like this was the right thing. Yeah, we feel a lot of things, but our feeling, the problem with us is that our feelings often change. Our feelings don't change from year to year. They don't change from month to month. They don't just change from day to day, week to week, hour to hour, minute to minute. They change from second to second. So I've come to the conclusion I need God to bring into an existence of a heart for me so that when he creates that in me, watch this, I am no longer going to want my own will, intellect, feelings, and desires. I'm going to want the things of God. Somebody said, well, God is just going to hold us hostage with all of this. He's just going to hold our feelings hostage. We don't have our own thoughts. No, no, no. You do have the opportunity. It's what you choose. If you choose to give your life to God, the sacrifice of giving your life to God is no longer allowing yourself to have your own will, your own thinking, your own feelings. And you say, okay, well, I'm not. This is what causes a lot of people not to get in relationship with God, because they're very comfortable in the sin that they're in. So it's difficult for them to just turn over things to God that they like. God, hold on, wait a minute. Before I decide to give myself totally God, I got to get some of this stuff out of me. Okay, so what I love about David is David is called the man that is after God's own heart. I'm going to let y'all marinate on that for a minute, because anybody knows the story or the life of David would have to ask yourself the question, how could this particular person be a man after God's own heart?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's first look at it. David first acknowledges his sin. David does not pass his sin off. He, you know, the prophet of God had to let him know. He told him the story about the lamb. He said, well, who is this man that you're talking about? He said, thou art the man, David. You are the man that has caused all these issues and problems in Uriah's life. You're the one who has caused the death of Uriah. You're the one who caused his wife to fall. You're the reason why his wife was impregnated. You're the reason why Uriah ended up on the front line. David doesn't start passing the buck then. David realizes what his sin was. See, the thing is, we got to take ownership of what we do. See, we try to hide things. We try to, anybody get caught anything, the most the first reaction is to blame somebody else for it. No, actually, the first reaction is to say, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're just so caught out there, you know, you don't take responsibility for what has been done. So
Amen.
David had to take a responsibility. He said, listen, create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Okay, what happens if God does this for him? Okay, there's a reason. There's a reason behind what David is asking God for. Because when you realize that you love God so much, your heart, your soul, your mind is connected to God. People who have been connected to God through their soul, heart, and mind, the one thing they don't want to do is disappoint God. We understand that what we need help in this area, because if it's up to me and my flesh, unless this flesh dies daily, I'm going to disappoint God every day. So he says to God, I need you to create in me a clean heart. Watch this. He doesn't stop there. And then he says, I need you to renew a right spirit within me. Okay, do that spirit over in me. In other words, God, the spirit that is connected, I can't just let you clean up my heart and then keep that same spirit in my life. Because we've got to realize that we can have the wrong spirit. You can be connected to God and get a bad spirit. See, this is what we have to realize. We think sometimes when we get saved that we no longer have the ability having the devil use us. But the truth of the matter is, I found out that the devil uses a lot of church folk.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Because when we are in a weak place, if we have not allowed ourselves to give ourselves totally to God, it's a sacrifice, all right? It's a total sacrifice that we're giving unto God, our lives. So before you say, Lord, I'm available to you, my will I give to you, I'll do what you say do. These are not just words. But when you place those words, you know, when I was growing up, they told us, don't sing songs you don't mean. Because you're going to be held accountable for what you say. So, Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do whatever you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. This is what David's really saying in this scripture. So let's go. In verse 11, it says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit away, a spirit from me. Let me explain something to you on those who are listening tonight. The worst thing you can have that could ever be is God be silent in your life. Now, where you don't feel the presence of God, where God is hiding himself from you. He's there because he promised us he never would leave us nor forsake us. But when you get to the point where you can't feel God, and see, what we got to understand, a lot of people think that when we go to church and we dance before God and we lift our voice before God, it's a bunch of emotionalism. It's not for some of us. It's not just emotionalism. It's a response to what I feel from God, knowing that his presence. I don't know if anybody's ever been in a service where the Spirit of God was so high. You know, even after the service was over, we had danced before the Lord. We had worshiped before the Lord. We had praised God. And there was times where the Spirit of God was so heavy in the place, even though they gave the benediction, we couldn't move. Because to me, for us to move would mean we would be out of that feeling of being in the presence of God. You know, I've heard people say that I've been in the presence of God where to the point where it was so thick and it was so heavy on us. They said, Lord, you can take me right now. I've never been there yet, but I'm just saying, some people have. I just wasn't that person. All right? So, and I've shared this with people before. You know, if God chooses and I get the opportunity to go with God, I love my family. I love my church. I love my grandbabies. They're the things that just keep me breathing and moving and smiling. But if God offers me an opportunity, and it says you got an automatic ticket to heaven, they have a song that says, so long, bye-bye. Why? Because to have that opportunity, knowing that what your life is, that's why David's like, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, and cast me not away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, he says, then it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In other words, restore unto me your gift of salvation. Restore unto me that I may be saved, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Watch this. The reason why I want you to do this, God, is so that I can teach transgressors your way, thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let me explain something to all of y'all tonight who is listening. The things that you go through in life, your mess ups, your mistakes, your immoral acts, things that you have done, when God creates a clean heart in you, I know some people don't think that people can be saved and get delivered from things, but I am a true believer that God can deliver anybody out of anything that they're in. Watch this. When they come to an understanding and when they take responsibility of what they've done, and then they go before God and make the statement like David, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Yeah. And renew a right spirit in me, okay? So this reason, watch this. So I know what I've done wrong. I know how bad I messed up, God. I messed up so bad that I didn't even think I could come back from it. But if you created me a clean heart, if you bring me into an existence, bring my heart into an existence where my life, my will, my elect, my intellect, my feelings, my character, my personality all shows you, then guess what I can do? I can teach transgressors your way. I can teach other sinners how not to sin. I can teach them that there is a God that can bring them out of what they were in. You don't have to follow your flesh, but you can follow the things of God. I can teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted unto thee. All right? So we've got to understand that God still has the capability. See, a lot of times because we're not ready to give up what we are in, then we try to diminish the power of God. And we say to ourselves, oh, God, I just can't get free from this. Is it that you can't or you don't want to? You have to ask yourself these questions. Because when you get enough, I come to a point where I've been like David in some aspects, because there have been times where I said to myself, I'm sick of you. It wasn't somebody else's sin or somebody else's situation or somebody else's life. There's sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of you. My own person, listen, I had to examine myself and say, God, I'm sick of them. I need you to do something with me. I need you to clean me up, make me new. Does that mean you don't make mistakes? No, it does not. Does that mean you're exempt from all sin? No, it does not. Does it mean that you'll never fall again? No, it does not. But what it does mean is that my heart, my mind, my soul wants to be like Jesus. When I was growing up, they used to say, old mothers used to sing a song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Oh, how I long to be like him. Now, we want to be like everybody else but Jesus. See, because one thing I realized is that if I'm like Jesus, then there's a lot of people who are going to be able to come to Christ, because he said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Can I tell you, one of the greatest things that a child of God can have when they have a created, existent heart of God, one of the greatest things they can have and ask God for is godly influence. I'm saying that again. Godly influence. Why do I say that? I sat there and I watched. I watched Elder Clay, how this one man influenced thousands of people. Thousands of people converted thousands of people to come to the Capitol and destroy the Capitol based on his influence. Can I tell you what would it be like if we had so many people with that amount of godly influence to point people to God, and they run into the church and run to the altar just begging God, asking him, what can I do to be saved? How can we get this godly influence? First, we have to ask God to create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us, and not to allow God, don't allow yourself to be taken away from me. I need you more than I needed you yesterday. I need you more than I needed the last breath that I breathed. Why? Because I know that the only way that I'm going to be able to do what I need to do in the kingdom of God, I need to have godly influence. And in order for me to have the godly influence, I have to have the right heart. I have to have the right mind. And my feelings and my heart has to be connected. Okay, let's deal with this. Let's also deal with something else. Let's deal with the mind. Let's deal with the mind and the heart. Okay? The mind and the heart are somewhat connected. Why do I say that? Because what is planted in your mind will enter into your heart, and then you will act out in your personality. I'm going to say that again. What enters into your mind will go into your heart, and you will act it out in your personality or character. Okay? So why do I say this? I find this to be true. I can prove it right now. I'm going to prove it to everybody right now. How do I know? We are sight creatures. And not only sight creatures, but what we hear. Your environment. I say this a lot to people because I find it to be true. We become a product of our environment. You could be raised a certain way, Elder Clay. You can be taught by your mother and your father a certain way. This is your do's and your don'ts. This is the type of upbringing where I'm bringing you in. But as soon as you get around people and an atmosphere of people who show you a different way that may not follow necessarily the things that you were brought up in, if you stay in that environment long enough, it becomes a seed planted in your mind that goes into your heart, and you act out in your character. Okay, I know this to be true because it often happens around about 12, 13 years old, or maybe now it seems like it's happening younger. When you see, when you were growing up, there was no such thing as talking back to your parents. You did what you're told. And now, if you talk back to your parents, you did it in another room where they did not hear you, and you did it under your breath while you were in the other room with the door closed, maybe with the pillow over your face. But you did not outwardly disrespect your parents by mouthing off at them back to back, because all of a sudden, you know, your the parent to turn around and ask you the question, then who are you talking to? When you get to an environment where you see people, young people, and they're talking back to their parents, they're giving their parents lip, they're telling the parents off, and the parents is bucking down, you go home and try that to your parents, you find yourself kicking yourself off the floor 3 days later, okay? So you can't, you know, it was sown a seed in their heart, in their mind. Somebody said, oh, I think I can do this. I'm going to try this. They try it. Listen, you can't try everything you see. You can't be around everyone that you want to be around. So you got to understand, you have to be very careful where you take your heart to, where you take your mind to, where do you take your spirit to. If you're not strong enough, watch this, if you're not the one strong enough to convert somebody else, then you should not go to certain places. Some people may not understand that, but sometimes it's just like a person who was living a life of sin, decided that they wanted to come to Jesus, give their mind, heart, soul, and body to Jesus, and they just are babes, newbies in Christ. You got to be careful who you center yourself around when you're trying to walk according to the will of God. You have to surround yourself around godly people to help strengthen you in the spirit, in your soul, and your mind, so that when you get around other people, you say, okay, when they offer you certain things that you used to do, you know how to say, no, I'm good. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then even if they make statements or slide remarks, oh, you a church girl now, you a church guy now, you don't have time for us no more. No. See, because another thing you don't want to do is lose a soul. So you don't want to, you know, make somebody else feel like they're no good or they're not anything. But you want to bring them to the point where David's talking about. Let me teach them. No, my thing is that if God can do it for me, and I used to hang with you, why can't he do it for you? Because this pathway that we're going down, anybody that is in the year of 2021 without God, my God, help you. There's no way we can survive without him. Just going from 2020 to 2021, we're praying and hoping things get better soon. But the truth is, for us to just make it out of 2020 into 21, we needed God more than we ever needed him before. People are praying more. They're talking to God more. And I said to, I was in a service not too long ago, because I keep hearing, oh, this is the new order of church. This is the new order. This is what's going to take place. You know, we're going to always be on social media, and we're going to always do this. Now, we may use social media, but we are going to bring ourselves. We're going to assemble ourselves together. And the reason why I say this is because you cannot tell me that the enemy has the power to run us out of our own churches. And then we no longer assemble ourselves together, which God has called us to do so. We can no longer touch and agree with one another. We've got to understand that there is nothing, and I'm going to say it again, there is nothing that is greater or bigger than God that will cause God to take a knee. God doesn't take knees, because the Bible lets us know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. God will not bow down to COVID. God will not bow down to government. God will not bow down to church leaders. God will not bow down to humanity. He's too much God for that.
Amen.
No such thing as a God like our God bowing down to his own creation. Listen, there was somebody who decided to try that once. It didn't work. We see how that, where that got him. Satan tried it. But the truth is that he did not succeed. So I'm going to open up the lines on tonight, so I can get some feedback from you on tonight about being in a place where God has created a new heart in you, where you're looking for more from God. I'm praying that more of you are searching for God, because I promise you, if you're searching for him, you will find him. So Elder Clay, you can have them open up their lines and we can just talk back and forth concerning what David is really dealing with in this particular scripture and why David was brought to this position to even have to ask God this. And listen, David is not the only one who had to ask God this question. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen. All my children. Some background.
Does anybody want to share with us on tonight about where David was, and even in our own getting an understanding? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. That's where life is coming from, the springs of life. Within your heart, there are different chambers, different things that are in your heart, different levels. And it even scientifically, it lets us know that if when we have depression, when we have despair, when we worry and all those things, can connect from our minds to our heart, it can cause cardiovascular disease. So we have to understand how the God we serve has so intricately created our very being, that we have to be careful of our very thoughts, because it can infiltrate our heart.
Amen.
So, if there's somebody else in the background.
I know I have some noise in the background. I'm trying to find out where it's coming from.
No problem.
Playing music.
Hallelujah. But if somebody has something they want to say, and they can speak over the noise and I can hear you, that's fine.
I wanted to make a comment in terms of that a person's attitude in terms of their heart. You know, your attitude, and you were talking about in terms of thinking, you know, and the Bible talks as a man thinketh, so is he. And our attitude makes all the difference in terms of how we respond, not only to other people, but also to God. And our attitude can take us to places, you know, that God will not acknowledge. He will not acknowledge that. So, you know, when you were talking about in terms of the heart, you know, the heart, how, and that's one of the things that God can see and man cannot see is the heart. We can say a bunch of words. We can say a lot of things. But what's coming from the heart? Are we sincere about what we're saying? And when David was saying, you know, a clean heart, having a clean heart, and renewing a right spirit, you know, he was just, you know, during that time, if you think about during that time in the Old Testament, you know, they had to go to a priest.
Right.
And the priest made the sacrifice, had to make the sacrifice, you know, for our sins. You know, and David is here asking, you know, let me have a clean heart when I come, you know, forth to you. And I think that's the attitude that we have to have when we go before God. You know, we have to ask God to purify our hearts. You know, because the things that we see, the things that we hear, they become a part of our being. And we have to ask God, you know, to cleanse us. You know, to get rid of all of that mess, all that junk that we've been. You know, you also mentioned in terms of the atmosphere that you're in. You know, making sure that we're around, you know, like-minded, you know, people, you know, with the same spirit. Because if we are around, hanging around the wrong type of people, eventually we become just like them. Our heart becomes like stone, just like them. And we become hardened just like them. So I just wanted to make a comment in terms of, as you was talking about that, you know, in terms of how important it is, you know, to have that right heart, you know, saying what you mean and really meaning it. Again, we can say one thing, but God knows, you know, we're talking to God. God knows whether we're sincere about that or not.
Absolutely. He knows our heart. And we can try to fool people with words, you know, and try to say, oh, this is how I feel. And your words can be one thing, but your heart is not saying anything. He says, even God let us know. He says, your words, you're speaking your words, but your heart is far from me. You
Amen.
Say one thing with your mouth, but your heart is telling me something totally different. And so
we've
got to realize that we cannot fool God when it comes to stuff.
That's right.
We've got to be sincere in our hearts and our ways. If you really going to make Jesus your choice, make him your choice. Ain't no turning around and going back, because one thing I realized, when you realize that you've got something good, it's not always going to be easy. And that's the thing about it. We want easy stuff. Anything that's too easy, you better check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Check it
mm-hmm.
out. Because mm-hmm. we've got to work for some things that we have to work for. If sin did not come into play, we wouldn't have to work as hard as we're working. The Bible lets us know that. Men are going to have to work it by the sweat of their brow. Women are going to have to deal with, labor, childbirth, and different things like that. We're going to have to work. And so we've got to understand those
it is,
days.
That's what it is.
We got to get to the place where we got to understand that God is going to allow us to do what we need to do.
Just
but we've got to put ourselves in place. We got to be in the right place
Amen.
With God.
Amen. Amen.
So it's important that we make sure that we, you know, Richard Smallwood that sang the song, Jesus, You're the Center of My Joy.
I'm not changing.
Love you, so.
All that's good and perfect comes from you.
My they can go to
You're the heart
Amen.
Of my contentment, hope for all I do. Okay? So he's the center. He should be the center of your joy. And I say that because if you put Jesus as the center of your joy, and he has first partaking of your life, everything else falls into place. Marriages,
Amen.
Family, finances, falls right into place.
Amen.
Because I am
Amen.
In the atmosphere of a kingdom-minded person. You know? And, it's, you know, people say, oh, it's easy to say, Pastor. But, you know, it's not always easy because we're battling in our flesh. We're battling against
mm-hmm.
flesh and blood. Okay?
Really?
We're battling with in our mindsets, we're battling within ourselves. And I'm not even talking about the battle against another individual. I'm talking about the battle within
mm-hmm.
ourselves. Because there's a war
mm-hmm.
going on within us. And
when
we deal with
a
war that's going on with us, yes, absolutely. The spiritual warfare going on within us. So we're battling. Some of us have been playing tug of war with our spirit and our flesh. One of them has got to go. They've got to lose, and one has to take control. Because let me explain something
Amen.
To you also, that if you are not giving your life over to God, I came to let you know you're not giving your life over to yourself.
Mm.
Why do I say that? Because if you don't allow God to be the one who controls your mind, intellect, and your spirit, guess who does then control? It's either your flesh is
mm-hmm.
going to control, or the things of the spirit are going
yeah.
to, of God is going to control. But one of them
Amen.
Is going to do it.
Yes.
And one thing I realize is that the enemy is something. He's conniving. He'll put you out there, and then when you get in trouble, he acts like he don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Walk right away. That don't have nothing to do with me. That was
mm-hmm.
your choice
Deception.
To do that. Where God will see your wrong, turn around, say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The enemy
yeah,
leaves
probably.
You out to dry. And God says, I'll stand right here with you.
Yes.
I know you messed up, and I know you turned your back against me. I know that you did not do right by me, but I'm going to keep my word. I promise you, I'll never leave you nor forsake
yeah.
you. My God in heaven. And let me tell you, those words ring out loud to me. I'd rather have somebody who's going to have my back all the time than somebody who says they have my back, but when trouble shows up, you're never there.
Never
my God. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve, people of God. It's either God or man.
Yes, who do you choose?
Amen.
Amen. Either you're for me or against me.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
And it's that simple. It's that simple. When some people say, well, it's not. No, it's that simple. You're either on the Lord's side or you're on the enemy's side or his enemy's side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is.
Yes.
Choose you this day. Amen. So
you know,
if there's anybody else that wants to say anything.
Mm-hmm. All the mics are on. It seems like everybody's quiet this evening. Any comments?
I would concur. We have to constantly examine ourselves, our heart, and know what God's word is and put that into practice to avoid hypocrisy, because either you're with God or our Father or you're not. You can say one thing and then do totally something totally different. You know, there has to be a demonstration of love, and even the people we align ourselves with will have an impact on our heart. If you roll around in the mud, you're going to get dirty. So anyway, by cleansing your heart, by reading the Bible and aligning yourself with the right people, like Bible study, and even the Bible study, being in the right church and having faith and belief in God makes a big difference in the development of our character and the cleansing of our hearts. Because there are things out there that will get us dirty, but we have to take a shower and clean ourselves off, clean our hearts off, you know. Knowing God's word.
I mean, yeah. The thing is, too, if you have to clean your natural body, what makes you think we don't have to clean our spirit?
Amen.
It is necessary that we clean our natural body. It is necessary that we clean our spirit.
Amen.
And like the brother said, we cleanse our spirit by the word, through the washing of the water by the word. That's how we do it. I'm telling you, when you start reading the Word of God, you start praying, it starts putting you in the right perspective of where you're supposed to be in God. So even in this situation where we are now, I love this fact that we're in timeout right now. I call it timeout. We're all in timeout, and we have the opportunity where we can sit to ourselves and actually sit down and talk to God, not just talk to him, but sit down and listen. Because we do a lot of talking, but we never wait on answers.
Yes.
So not only do we speak, but let God speak to your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn it back over to you, Elsa. I'm finished. Hallelujah. Lord, creation
Amen.
Is our word on tonight.
Amen. Thank you for a word to kind of remind us, especially with these days and times, how we have to act accordingly, making sure, you know, that we are aligned with God, and whatever we do, that we are aligned with God. You know, whether things are going right, whether they're going wrong, it doesn't make a difference. But making sure that our hearts are aligned with God, keeping God first in everything we do. So we thank you.
I just want to give the Zoom number out for everybody. We're going to be on the 8:15 for
please.
Prayer. The Zoom number, thank you so much for allowing us to do that. Our Zoom number is 259-03758. I'm going to say it again. 259-037-8658. That's the number. It will bring you right in. There is no password. Just come in with that number, 259-037-8658. God bless you. I'll see you at 8:15.
And what time is that again? Did you give the
time? It's at 8:15 tonight, 8:15.
8:15. Okay. Praise the Lord. Again, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and being a part of this evening. If you listen, if you join in on that Zoom, they are some praying folks. They come in and they call on the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you get an opportunity, please join in. I guarantee you that you will be blessed. Okay, we're going to move on as, we'd like to invite you back next week. I think we'll be in Chicago. So, again, thank you so much. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
I can't.